If you want to learn something new, would you rather learn it on your own, from a random teacher, or from folks who are the best of the best in that skill? I think I know which option most of you would choose. That's made possible by MasterClass. In recent months, they've added classes from the likes of Ava DuVernay, who gives us tips on how to reframe our thinking in all walks of life. One of our personal favorites recently was the one-on-one time we got with Amy Poehler in her class on preparing to be unprepared. So good. With Ava DuVernay. With over 180 world-class instructors and a 30-day money-back guarantee for new members, there's no reason not to get started today. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/hardthings. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/hardthings. masterclass.com/hardthings.
Spring cleaning isn't just for your garage and basement. How about that sock drawer? With new drops of incredibly soft socks to go along with tees and underwear, Bombas is the brand you need for a spring refresh. The only thing I like more than the comfiness of Bombas is their amazing mission. One item purchased equals one donated. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/hardthings and use code HARDTHINGS for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/hardthings and use code HARDTHINGS at checkout.
'Cause we're adventurers and heartbreaks on map.
Hello and welcome to We Can Do Hard Things. How are you doing, Abby Wambach?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little bit concerned because we have to put our house on the market because we found a spider upstairs.
Oh my God. We and did find a spider.
I don't know what we will be. It's somewhere now upstairs, and God forbid we walk back upstairs.
And we don't see it.
And we don't know where it went. And it will. We will have to move. We have to move.
Anyway, I am so curious about today's episode. That's what I want to say. I'm very curious today. Sister, tell the Pod Squad what we're talking about today on We Can Do Hard Things.
We are talking about astrology.
We are talking about astrology. Okay, here's where I stand on this astrology thing. So I come from a religious background, actually many religious backgrounds. Since I'm such a seeker, I have found many religions to fold into. One or two of them have been sort of serious, narrow, dogmatic religions that did not end up working in a way that made me feel like I could be both held and free. Because of this, I am wary, I would say. Usually I mess up that word and say I am weary, which I feel
both.
Wary and weary.
And both.
Yeah.
And both.
Wary and weary.
I am weary and wary of things that are religious. But in my heart, I am still a believer. I don't know what the hell that means. I just know my heart says yes to believing what? I'm not sure. Okay. So the balance I have found for my type of personality is that I am a skeptical, wary believer. Okay. Which means that I believe in everything a little bit and nothing all the way.
That's good.
Is it?
I like it.
Thank you, baby. Okay, so what that means is that I really believe that there is some truth and beauty and help and fun in all of the many different ways and paths that people follow and believe. And I will learn from everybody. I think there's something we can learn from everybody and every path and every faith. I just won't be part of anything that requires exclusivity. So like if you tell me that you found the way, you're right and everybody else is wrong. Mm-hmm. And in order for you to share with me, I just need to become part of your like religious pyramid scheme. Then that's a no from me.
It's a no from me, dog.
That's a no from me, dog. But if you say to me, hey, I have found this cool thing that helps me be human and maybe you'll find something helpful here too. Then great. Let's talk about it.
You'll try.
Okay.
You'll hear about it.
Right. So what I'm trying to say is, as for me and our podcast, we will learn from everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Sissy?
It's interesting. Yeah. I would describe myself as Zodiac curious.
I love that.
Just feel like, I mean, the gravitational pull of the moon controls 321,000 cubic miles of ocean tides every day.
Yeah.
And if it can do that, it seems at least plausible that it can have some influence on me.
Oh,
that's good. I like that.
Okay.
And it also just feels like it doesn't, believing in, you know, the moon and the stars and an infinite universe is no more ridiculous than many of the other things that we purport to believe in.
Like, so
I'm not
true.
I'm not saying I believe it. I'm just saying that we should be intellectually honest about admitting that a lot of the other stuff we believe is actually woo-woo-wooier than this.
Yeah.
I mean, at least you can freaking see it with your eyes, the moon and the stars and everything. Like, you actually see it. 26% of Americans believe in astrology, but 42% of us, including Abby, believe in ghosts. So I just think it's just as absurd or legitimate as all the other shit we believe in. So let's just learn a little bit.
I love that.
That's so true.
And not for nothing. Astrology, just as a concept over history, I mean, for the centuries of meticulous records that astrologers have kept, were what was used to demonstrate that the earth moves around the sun and that established time zones. And are still used by Apple and Google to set all the coding for our phones and computers. So,
interesting.
You're all getting something out of astrology.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, if sister thinks there's something to be had here, let's
curious.
Have it.
Curious.
All right. She is Zodiac curious. I consider myself astrologically fluid. Okay. So,
yes.
Our sweet pod squad has asked us so many times. So many pod squatters have asked us to do an episode about astrology.
Yes.
Okay. And then,
yeah, well, honey, you host an event to support Phoebe Robinson's book launch.
Right.
And part of, what she wanted to do to thank you was she wanted to send you an astrologer.
Yes. She wanted to send a gift to my home.
And it was such a special gift. And Heidi came to us and brought our charts and told us all of the things. We're so lucky. That person is Heidi Rose. Let's welcome Heidi Rose.
Heidi Rose Robbins has been a professional astrologer for 25 years. She hosts the Radiance Project podcast and co-hosts the Chart Your Career podcast.
Mm.
Heidi has written two beautiful poetry books. You know me and poetry, and her books are lovely. This Beckoning Ceaseless Beauty, I mean, come on with these titles, and Wild Compassion, in addition to a 12-book series titled The Zodiac Love Letters. Oh. Heidi's forthcoming book, Everyday Radiance, will be available this fall. Heidi lives in Los Angeles with her husband and two kiddos. Welcome, Heidi.
Thank you so much. Oh, I am so happy to be with you all. Oh. Thanks for inviting me. Yeah.
All right. Well, you say that astrology is a map. Now, even though you've been to our house and have given us our first lesson about astrology.
It's going to be a real stretch for you, Heidi, but just try.
I just want to know, what is astrology and how does it help us understand ourselves?
Yeah, it's a beautiful and perfect question to begin. And I just will be very simple about it and say that astrology is the study of the cycle and relationships between the planetary bodies and how those patterns impact us at the moment of our birth. Mm. So I like to say that astrology is a beautiful tool of self-revelation, of compassion, of encouragement. We're each given this beautiful map of the moment we were born, in the precise place we were born, at the precise time we were born. And that gives us some insight into our relationship with the heavens, really. And so it's a beautiful tool for us to understand who we are, to understand our gifts, and to help us grow those gifts.
Mm-hmm. How in the world did you get into astrology, Heidi?
So this is actually, I was raised by an astrologer. So my dad was an astrologer and I learned the zodiac with my ABCs. When I was 2 years old, I learned the zodiac. And he was a teacher, a profound mentor in my life. And it's so interesting because we were supposed to talk a couple months ago and I was in Finland because my dad passed away. Mm. And and it was heartbreaking, but I was so glad that I was with him. But I thought to myself, isn't it fascinating that I was going to be with all of you and that I was actually holding my dad's hand as he passed? And that I thought, oh, I thought I had done hard things, but you know, this moment with my dad. And I was like, it's perfect that I get to talk to you after that because he's so with me. He's such a profound teacher. I get to honor him. This is his language that I got to steep in as I grew up. You know, he would whisper in my ear. He'd be like, okay, so your boyfriend or your friend is a Cancer rising with a da 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 da. You know, he'd be like, you know, when they were there, you know, it was so cute. But anyway,
Heidi, how are you today and now? Where are you in the whole grief journey? What is your experience?
Thank you for asking that. Yeah. It's so fascinating. Like right as he died, I haven't been with somebody as they passed. And it was, I know it sounds strange, but it was almost euphoric. Like we were like priestesses around him. His wife was there. I was there. One of his daughters, stepdaughters was there. And it was just, I felt light in the room. I just felt this great release. And I rode that for some time. Of course I was devastated, but it was a kind of high. And now, you know, I would say a couple of weeks ago, there was another layer that just was a realization. He lived in Finland. So I was always like, oh, he's over in Finland. You know, I'll see him soon. But of course, then it lands. And so it's a ride, you know.
You said it reminded me of when my mom's mom passed, the landing kept coming. Like each day, like I just heard you say, he lived in Finland. It's like,
yes.
She used to say, I still think, oh, I have to tell my mom this. And then a year later, and then think, oh, she'd remember every day.
Yeah. And I talked to him every day. Mm. When we were with him in the final day that he was really conscious, he made a comment about coming back as a bear or something, you know, as a joke, and a Kodiak bear in Alaska. And so, of course, now everywhere I look, bears everywhere, you know. And so it's just like, that's just a gift, those sweetnesses. I'm so grateful for them.
Oh, thank you for sharing that.
I love online shopping. It's how I process my feelings. When you combine the convenience of online shopping with prices that allow you to save 50%, sometimes 80%, it's a slam dunk. And that's why I shop on Quince. No more going to a store and being faced with prices that make your jaw drop. Quince has an amazing selection of lush sweaters, silk tops, timeless jewelry, and everything is priced less than similar brands. Plus, it feels good knowing that whatever I order, I've actually ordered the white gold pave diamond hoop earrings that I'm wearing all the time, was made using safe, ethical practices thanks to Quince's partner process. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/hardthings for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/hardthings to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/hardthings.
So I always thought, and forgive me for this, but I always thought that astrology was the same as horoscope. Like, you know, what's your sign? But turns out that your horoscope is just your sun sign, which is, it might not be the most important sign in your life, but what I have come to understand, because after you came here, we went on vacation in Mexico and the stars were out. Mm-hmm. And I finally figured out that the natal chart that we have, that you gave us, was actually a snapshot above the stars.
Yeah.
Looking down upon where you were specifically on the map. And that is what your natal chart is. And that is what you get all of the information that you need to read somebody's chart from, which, first of all, that was mind-blowing to me.
And can you say that in astrologer language?
Yes.
Yes, I could just say it this way. A horoscope is actually the map of the heavens the moment you were born. And yes, sometimes people say, oh, my horoscope, and it's there. It's the interpretation, but it is the map itself.
Oh.
And then astrology is the science, is the art, is the study of the stars, right? Okay. So yes, and Abby, that's beautiful. It's if you look at your chart and you picture yourself at the center of the chart, that is like the little baby self, and there's the heavens all around you. Mm. So that's what you're looking at. And most of us only know our sun sign, which is the circle with the dot in it, which I love because it's like a sun, and it's like this little dot, which is the self, is growing in its radiance, right? So most of us only know that one position, but if you look at a chart, there are symbols all the way around it, and every symbol has something to say about who you are. Every symbol is a voice in the choir of you. Mm. So that's where astrology gets really interesting, because it's not just I'm an Aries, I'm a Gemini. It's all this qualifying, beautiful energy that helps us grow in love and wisdom if we use those energies available to us.
So you're saying the birth chart that Abby's talking about, is that's why the place of your birth and the time of your birth is so important, because you're saying that, like, at the moment of your birth, exactly where you're born, that's a picture of the way the universe was at that precise moment, at that precise place. And that dictates where your sun and moon and rising are.
So, like, you could take a picture of the room you were born in, snapshot of the moment you're born. That would be a moment that will never be repeated. That was the moment you were born in that room. You could also take a snapshot of the sky, and that would be a moment that was never repeated the moment you were born. So it's just a picture.
Yes, I actually love that you said that, because I often say, if I was born right now, I would be in relationship to you, and you would be affecting me as a little being.
Right.
So it's just saying, well, I'm in relationship to this planet here. I'm in relationship to this planet here. And the other thing that's important to say is astrology, we make it geocentric. In other words, we put the earth at the center so that we're looking to where the sun is in relationship to the earth. And that's important to say. So yeah, the center of the circle is the place that you were born. And the 9 o'clock hour on the chart is the rising sign. And in the astrology I practice, that's the most important position, because that is what was rising over the horizon the moment that you were born. Mm. And it is what we are meant to grow in our life. So you could imagine this energy coming up above the horizon and a little baby looking to the side and saying, oh, that's the energy that's mine to cultivate.
So there's energy in a room, if we believe that energy affects us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're an infant. The energy of the people in the room affect you. The energy of the planets affect you. So we've got the snapshot of the
sky. It's like skin on skin, but with the planets.
Yeah. Planet on human. Okay.
And I also just want to say, don't feel like the planet is, they're not doing anything to us. Okay. We're not like, we're not like being impacted by Mars. It's this dance of the energy, and it's what's available and how we can meet it. I love to think of that. It's free will meets the design.
Cool. Ooh. Okay. So in the snapshot of the sky, which is our birth chart, you told us, and it was really cool, y'all, because our podcast team happened to be at our house. Well, actually, Phoebe arranged it that way, right? For the whole team to be there.
Yes.
So Sister was there, Allison and Dina were there. Of course, Abby was there, and Heidi read all of our charts to us. Now, the chart gave us information about a lot of things, but for Astrology for Dummies, which is what we were.
And are.
You told us three of our signs, which are, we each have a sun sign, a rising sign, and a moon sign, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Heidi, can you just go through those and tell us what in the hell a sun sign is, a rising sign is, and a moon sign is? Because everybody has all three, right?
Yes. And of course, those are the three big positions. We also have a Venus placement, a Mars placement, a Pluto placement. But these three, if you know these three, you are in good shape. And the way that I like to say it is, the moon has a lot to do with our past. It has a lot to do with our childhood, our bodies, how we feel emotionally safe. It's childhood. Then imagine this. You get in your sun car, which is really just like your personality self. and you drive towards the rising sign, because the rising sign is what we're cultivating. It is what is rising in us. The sun sign is our doing personality, daily self, and the moon is what we steeped in as a child and what feels safe to us. So if you know those three positions, they help you grow and evolve all of those areas.
Okay. So are you saying my sun sign is my personality, like the way I show up in the world?
Yeah. It often is reflected in the career. I will say that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Okay. And the moon sign is kind of like where I'm coming from, like what I'm, what I'm growing
childhood
from.
Childhood experience, how we were mothered, how we mother ourselves. That's a big one.
Okay. I heard you describe moon, Heidi, as a confining place where we go for comfort, but we don't want to live there.
Yes. Mm. So it's such an interesting place, because on one hand, we all want comfort and we all want to feel good in our bodies and we want to feel safe, but we can get into a habitual behavior there where we need to crack it open. Mm-hmm. You know, like Amanda, you just had an experience where your moon in Taurus was hit by Uranus, or, you know, lined up with Uranus, lined up with it, which got you out of old behavior patterns in a way that never before in your life have you had the opportunity to start shaking it up like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So yes, the moon, we want to grow and evolve the moon.
Okay.
There's actually a little formula that I would give you. It's called the Sure formula. You strengthen the rising sign, you use the sun, you rely upon the moon, and you eliminate all the negative qualities associated with all of them. So you want to strengthen
the rising sign. Okay, say that one more time.
Yeah.
Okay,
we want to strengthen the rising sign. Yeah, we want to, like, this is the energy I want to live in. And most people don't know their rising sign. So this is a gift when you know it. Strengthen the rising sign. Use the sun. Like, I know how to do this. Rely upon the moon, because it's just part of your instinctual behavior. And then eliminate all the other negative qualities that don't serve you.
I love that.
And so if you only know one sign of yours, the sign that you know, if it's like you were born on X date, therefore that is the sun sign that you know.
Exactly.
That's
exactly
the only one you know. Okay.
Perfect. Yes.
And
yes.
How do people figure out what their other signs are?
That's where the astrologers come in. But now we're in such a beautiful age that you just go to the computer and you type it in at astro.com and you get your chart and they'll tell you what the positions are. But yes, you ask an astrologer and they present your chart. But, you know, Glennon, you had an experience where we weren't even sure about your sun sign, right? Until we actually calculated.
I was just going to ask, this is a point of contention in our household, because Heidi
ruined Glennon's life.
Yeah, honey, just tell the story of what happened.
Okay, now Heidi, we have not talked since this day. So I just am telling right now for the first time, Abby's laughing because this is like actually, it's funny.
A few times a week, but we get into it about it.
But it is also, it was jolting. It was jarring to me because Pod Squad, here's what happened. So in order to get your birth chart, you have to know the time you were born and the place you were born. Okay.
The exact time.
Exact time. So I, of course, my sister and I text my mom and we're like, what the hell time we were born? Of course, my mom's like, oh my God, now I have to figure out what time my kids were born. She tells us the time we were born. We send the information over to Heidi. Heidi comes to our house and she sits down and she says, okay, first of all, I have to tell you something, Glennon. You are not the sign you think you are.
Because you thought... what is the sign that you think based on your birth date?
Well, on that day, the sun shifted from Pisces to Aries.
Yeah.
Right.
And on that day, Glennon, the moon also shifted from Scorpio to Sagittarius. So you were either going to be a Pisces with a Scorpio moon or an Aries with a Sagittarius moon, depending on the moment you were born. So it was a very dramatic shift.
And I was born.
Shocking to everyone. Glennon was subject to a dramatic shift of forces.
I see where you're going with that, sister. But also, I was only born like 27 minutes after the switch. So my entire life, Heidi, this is what I'm trying to tell you. Okay. I have had many identity shifts in my life. Okay. Thought I was straight for 40 years. Thought I was a fundamentalist Christian for I'm just losing identities left and right. And I have one identity that has remained constant. And that
is effing Pisces. And then Heidi walks in and I find out that I am also neither straight nor Pisces. Okay. So I do want to talk to you a little bit about that because I cannot get myself to understand myself as an Aries. What do people do where their signs just make no sense to them? Because I think you told me that I'm a Aries, Sun,
Sagittarius,
Virgo rising.
Virgo rising.
So if you read Virgo rising, it's like these people are very analytical and very organized and always have their shit together.
Yeah. Obviously, there are stereotypes around the signs, and for some, there is truth in them, but there's so much more. Okay. So let's go to the Aries, okay? So yes, you would have been a Pisces if you had been born, I mean, just a little bit earlier, but you're an Aries. And what I see, what I know of you, what I've, all your books that I've read, Love Warrior is an Aries name. The first quote from Joan of Arc, you were born to do this, is an Aries phrase. Untamed is like letting loose. You're an entrepreneur. Aries rules the bright, bold idea. Aries rules writing to a certain extent because it has to do with the communication of the idea. It's springtime. It's like a little crocus coming up from the concrete. It's like, I will bloom. So, yeah. But you, Glennon, you have a Mercury in Pisces and you have Venus in Pisces. So your Pisces is still very much present.
Okay.
Mercury in Pisces is how you communicate. You communicate with love, with artistry, with sensitivity. Venus in Pisces is like big, big valuing of artistry and love. So your Pisces is still very present. You just get a little extra like, huh, through the Aries.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'll buy that. Yeah. I've thought about it maybe every day since you've come months ago. And I have decided that sometimes it is scary for me to think of myself that way. And that is why I'm more comfortable in the identity of sensitive, wilting flower of Pisces. Yeah. And it is scary for me to think of myself the other way. And that is why I'm resisting this. Is there any room for cusp people who are both? Is there any room for astrologically fluid?
I would say that you waited to be an Aries. Okay. That's what I would say. And I would say this is a very powerful moment if you really claim the Aries in yourself now, because right now, as we are speaking, the planet Jupiter has lined up with your Aries sun. It only happens once every 12 years. And it is a time Aries has allowed you to reinvent yourself multiple times. Aries has said, I'm jumping, I'm daring, I'm going to do this even though I'm terrified. That's Aries. Yeah. Red Rover, send Glennon over.
Yes.
Boom.
Yes.
You know, you're busting through.
Yes.
I love that you're an Aries. I feel like it's exactly right. And I think what you just said is perfect, that maybe identifying sometimes with the qualities of Pisces that are a little more sensitive or behind the scenes feels comfortable, but you're here to forge the new.
Okay. Can I ask you just really quick before we move on?
Yes.
You just said that Jupiter aligned with, I don't know, what did you say?
Her son, okay. Right now. Yeah.
What, and this happens once every 12 years.
Yes.
What happens?
And what, okay. What happens and what should I do? Right,
yes.
Today?
Okay. Like, so what? You have your map.
Should
right?
I get a new puppy today?
Is that? Oh God.
It's actually a really exciting time. The last time it happened was 2010. So if I'm thinking like you started writing in 2009, right? I think that's right from, you know, but 2010 would have been the last time it was there. But let me explain. You're born at a moment in time. Boom. There's your snapshot. Of course, the planets keep moving.
Yeah.
Right? They're moving right now.
Okay.
And they are lighting up that snapshot in different ways. Mm. So Jupiter has come all the way around. It has orbited. We know planets orbit. It has orbited and it's come back to the sign of Aries, where it was when you were born. So it is lighting up that part of your chart. Mm-hmm. And it is a time of expansion. It's a time when you must say yes. It is a time when you outgrow an old self, when you are daring yourself into new territory. So it is a very auspicious time. And guess what, Amanda, you're going to have the same thing just a little later because you're an Aries too, but you're going to have it more like early next year. So it is a huge time for Aries. This and Jupiter moves into Aries today.
No.
Today.
Wow. Yeah.
Soda is delicious. Let's get that out of the way. Lemon lime, root beer, cherry cola. These are flavors that remind us of summer, of fun family days, of nostalgic moments in our lives. But it's soda, which naturally comes with its downside. Unless, of course, you reach for Olipop. Olipop uses functional ingredients with much less sugar than conventional sodas. And their flavors are still delicious and versatile. Orange squeeze to complement your burger, classic root beer for those who like a heartier taste, and a brand new lemon lime variety for those who seek out some citrusy tang. Long story short, Olipop is a great way to indulge in a delicious drink and bring back some of those nostalgic flavors from your childhood. I love Olipop. Olipop is sold online at drinkolipop.com or Amazon and available in almost 30,000 retailers nationwide, including Walmart, Target, Kroger, Whole Foods, and more. Plus, when you use code HARDTHINGS on their website, you can get 20% off your order. That's drinkolipop.com, code HARDTHINGS.
So since a lot of people only know their sun signs, and I know there's a lot of, oh, this is stereotypical, this is just like a caricature of the things, but can you run through the sun signs, which I understand it as how you would complete the sentence, I am, like, unless you're God or Glennon, who just stop at I am. But if we pretend that we're at a dinner party with a dozen folks and each of them with a sun sign, what are they doing? What are they feeling?
Yeah.
Just
who are they at the table?
Okay, so I'm going to blaze through these, okay?
Yes,
there's 12 of them.
Yes.
And this relates to your rising sign as well.
Yes.
Like if you know that you're a Cancer rising or an Aries rising, then you're cultivating the highest part of the sign, right? So Aries initiates. Aries is bold. Aries comes forth. Aries dares. Aries is the entrepreneur. Taurus is the manifester. Taurus is steady. Taurus loves nature. Taurus is intuitive. Gemini is the connector. This is Abby. Gemini is the connector. She's, you know, everywhere, the messenger, it moves, it's quick, it's bright, it has a childlike wonder. It wants to ask questions relentlessly.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer is the builder, the mother, the caretaker, the nourisher, the one who wraps her arms around something and wants to see it grow.
And Liz Gilbert.
Lizzie and mom. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Abby's rising sign as well.
Oh,
so yeah. Cancer rising. Yeah, I should call these out as we go. So, you know, obviously, Amanda, you have the Aries and Amanda's got a Taurus moon. Okay. Abby's a Gemini sun. So already we've touched on a lot of your signs. Mm-hmm. Cancer rising, that is the protector. Family is everything.
Mm.
And your chosen family, your biological family, your team family, it's everything, right? Leo rules the heart. Leo is expression. Leo is the artist. Leo is the radiant one. Leo loves generously. Virgo, Glennon, Virgo is not just analytical and meticulous, but it's an incredible editor and refiner and perfecter. And it says, I can make this better. And not only that, it is a sign of great devotion and it's practical in its devotion. What can we do about this? Let's take the steps.
Mm. Tarana Burke.
Tarana, yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking of all the people that have been on the pod who intersect, and Alok.
Oh my God. Okay.
Alok has lots of Cancer. I was looking at Alok's chart. Whoa,
oh, really?
Beautiful. Yeah, lots of Cancer too. So Virgo.
And Glennon Libra. Is a Virgo. She's a Virgo rising.
Rising. Yeah. So she is calling in this energy of devotion through practical acts and refinement and perfecting, you know, making something beautiful so that love can exist in the space.
Mm.
You know,
okay,
that's, I mean, Virgo gets a bad rap and it really is a gorgeous sign. It's a very maternal sign that takes care of the form of things so that love can exist within it. Libra is the sign of relationship. Libra is the sign of balance and harmony and social justice.
Mm.
Your sun, Glennon, shines in the area that is ruled by Libra. So it's like speaking up for what is right, what is just, what is fair. Mm-hmm. So Libra wants to bring the marriage in the heavens. It wants to balance the opposites. And it's all about right relationship.
Sue Bird and Ocean Vuong have our Libras.
Oh,
that makes sense.
I love that you've checked this. I love that. Yes, yes. Yeah, Libra is a beautiful, Libra is the host, the diplomat, the peacemaker. Mm. Come into the house. Let me sit you by someone. Let's have a nice conversation, you know. Mm. Scorpio, deep dive, penetrates. It rules, glibly put, sex, death, money, power. Hmm. And so it's a sign of great healing. It's a sign of death and rebirth. Hmm. So it is intense. You can see a Scorpio's eyes, you know, but it's all about overcoming fear. And it's all about emerging victorious from the most difficult inner battles.
Wow.
Okay. It's gorgeous. Each sign is so gorgeous in its highest manifestation of love and consciousness. And many people don't know the higher manifestations of the signs, but Scorpio is a warrioress. Mm. Okay.
Brene the Scorpio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yes, yes, yes. So yeah, the Scorpio phrase is warrior am I, and from the battle I emerge triumphant. That's the Scorpio esoteric
that
phrase.
That checks
pretty
out.
Powerful.
Queen Bee.
Sagittarius is visionary, and Glennon has a Sagittarius moon, the visionary, the one who sets a goal and reaches it. It is the mentor, the teacher, the cheerleader, the encourager, the philosopher, asking the big questions,
and
the traveler, and the world citizen, wanting to make the world a smaller place. Take the blinders off. That's Sagittarius. Capricorn, this is Abby's moon. Capricorn is like, I am determined. I will climb. I will achieve. I will take care of things. I will be responsible. I will be responsible to the people that I've said I'll be responsible to. And it's all about a determination to excel and be the best at what you do. Mm. So that's Capricorn.
Lovey.
And Yaba is a Sagittarius, which is so.
Yeah.
Dr. Blake.
And Dr. Paulson, Blake. Sarah Paulson and Yaba are Sagittarius.
Cool.
Wait, Sarah Paulson is a Sagittarius. This is perfect because she's playing you, right, mm-hmm, Glennon? Mm-hmm. So this is an overlap, right? The moon in your moon in Sagittarius, her Sagittarius. There's an overlap in your energies. It's instinctual to her to be you.
Wow.
It's your moon and it's her sun. Okay. So Aquarius is your producer, Aquarius, Lauren. She is the water bearer that distributes the waters of life, the cutting edge. Go your own way. It rules technology, but it is the humanitarian. Oh. Aquarius is the humanitarian that really cares about who we are together. And Abby has her sun shining in the Aquarius house, which is the area of the team, the area of the community, and wanting to uplift the team. Okay. And Pisces, Amanda, your rising sign, is a sign of incredibly powerful love and standing in love and saving and redeeming and uplifting and allowing yourself to be the sensitive person you are. And it's all about our connection to God or our connection to source or our connection to love. Many philanthropists have strong Pisces. So, you know, for you with a Taurus moon, Amanda, and a Pisces rising, I would say it's like trusting the sensitivity beneath the capability. Mm. You know, the Taurus moon is the capable, and your Pisces is like this beautiful, permeable, like ocean of love that you need to listen to and trust ever more.
Because that's your rising sign. Pause there for one second.
Yeah, yes,
no,
yes,
I don't want you to ever stop. I don't want you to be done ever. But I just think it's interesting. You, sister Heidi, said you trust the sensitivity beneath the capability. Mm. I feel like I'm trying to trust the capability beneath the sensitivity. Right.
That's perfect because Virgo is so capable and that's what you're calling in. Mm-hmm. Your Virgo rising, you're trying to call in that like, well, I've got it all figured out and worked out. And so, yes, you're calling in earth, Glennon, and Amanda, you're calling in water. Just think about that elementally, you know, it's different. Like you're calling in, like, put me in a lake and let me like float. And, you know, Glennon, you're calling in, okay, how can I really ground this in practical ways? And how can I use my intelligence to manifest what I want to manifest?
You just got into like water, earth.
Yes.
What the hell?
Yeah. Tell us about those, the elements that related to you. Because that's cool.
Yeah. It's so wonderful. Even at this simple level to know, okay, Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius are fire signs.
Okay.
Fire is passion, creativity, dynamism, motivation. Okay. Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn are earth signs. Manifest, ground, breathe, slow down, achieve. Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius are air signs. Connect, distribute. Mm. Who are you? I want to know about you. I want to be collaborating with you, you know? Mm. So you're an air sign, Abby. You know, your sun sign is an air sign. And then Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces, water signs. Totally intuitive, fluid, listening, receptive, deeply divine, feminine. And water can be very powerful too, of course. So I always like to say, you know, you might say for Amanda's, let's use Amanda as an example. She comes from earth. We know this, right? Like she gets it done. She manifested. Mm-hmm. She went to law school. She, you know, she made it happen. I come from earth. I'm doing this work. She's living in fire, this dynamic, go for it, entrepreneur, we're going to make this happen. But she's here to learn to surrender. She's here for water.
Oh, good God.
And it seems right.
Yeah.
That seems right. Okay. That's
so beautiful. Thank you for being so beautiful. That was so beautiful.
Hungry Root's standard is simple but important. Step one, it's got to taste good. Step two, it's got to be quick to make. And step three, it's got to contain whole, trusted ingredients. And those three sound simple in theory, but when there's the option for takeout and there are stressful work days where meal prep isn't a priority, and when you've got picky eaters in the family, God help us, it's easier said than done. But Hungry Root makes it possible. We just built our first personalized cart after taking the fun little intro quiz, and soon my fridge will be filled with dairy-free snacks and drinks for John and the kids, prepared heat-and-eat meals for the whole family, and other high-quality groceries they're shipping over. I can't wait. Right now, Hungry Root is offering We Can Do Hard Things listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Did they say free veggies for life? Just go to hungryroot.com/hardthings to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/hardthings. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
I have a question. Heidi, you are a mom.
Yes.
And just a brilliant human being. And I have a question for you in terms of how you apply and teach your kids what you believe. So like so many parents who have a spiritual way of life, of understanding the world, want to pass that on to their kids. And we all want to do it in a way where it doesn't in any way limit them.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the way that you've probably figured out how to do this with your kids. And so I think it's a good way to, however you do it with them is how I want to explain it to our pod squatters. How do you talk to their kids about signs and this and that without making them think, oh, I'm a this, so this is the way I am?
Yeah.
You know how like in some families are like for sister and I, since I was a kind of wild, lost, creative soul, I got to be the creative one. And so sister had to be like the responsible, analytic one. We just figured out she's wildly creative when we started this pod. Right?
Yes. Not just when.
So how do you talk to them about this without limiting them?
Yeah, that's so beautiful. First of all, as a parent, it's a beautiful thing to know your children's sun, moon, and rising sign. Even if you just know that, it is a beautiful gift, because then when you start seeing them behave in a certain way that reflects that, you can invite them to look at it from a different perspective. So for sure, I never impose this. Like we'll play a game sometimes where I'll say, guess where the moon is today? Mm-hmm. Just because I see them behaving in a certain way or reacting. So we get, and they've gotten really good at it. Now they know where the moon is, you know? Mm-hmm. But I would just say I always reflect the next stage of growth, right? So let's just say you have a Capricorn moon, like Abby has. The Capricorn moon tends to keep it in. The Capricorn moon tends to be like, I've got this. I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. How are you? So if my child has a Capricorn moon, I'm going to be like, I know how strong and capable you are. And I know that you're like a little adult, but please tell me, I want to know all the messy parts underneath. You can, it's okay to be a mess. So I invite them to the next stage of growth, you know? Mm-hmm. And I never say you're this. So you know, you're a Cancer rising. So you are crying all the time. You know, it's never imposed, right? It's always like, well, there's another way to look at this.
It's an invitation.
Does that help a little?
Yeah. Invitation. That's really cool.
Well, I think it's also helpful that she said your sun, your moon and your rising sign are really cool and important maybe to know as a parent so that, and also understanding the relationship because everybody's is different. These astrological readings that you give, it's its own little book of poetry. Like to
which hers literally are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like being able to take this little nugget of information into your life. It's so helpful.
Can you tell us a story of, or tell us a time recently when astrology really helped you make a decision or something practical that, so we can understand how you actually use it in your everyday life.
Yeah. So for sure, well, I'll just say the first thing that came to mind. So interestingly, when I was in Finland and my dad was passing, there was a once in a lifetime hit in my chart. It was on Mercury, and Mercury is the planet of communication. And I also have Mercury in Pisces. So it is a very sensitive placement, and Mercury in Pisces, which you have, Glennon, is about poetry. It is about sensitivity. It is about deep feeling. So when I first saw this, I was like, oh, I'm going to be talking to Glennon and Abby and Amanda. And I thought this is going to be a time when inspiration can pour through. And I just need to stay open, you know. But in fact, I was apprenticing to impermanence. I was apprenticing to my father's passing. And at the time he died, that day, I was writing a poem that I was like, this is what needs to come through now. This is what I need to open to. And this is what I'm being asked to is not, it's not so much my own inspiration as it is my own deepest listening to this moment, my own deepest presencing to this moment. So that's not a real practical example of like, I saw this coming, so I used it this way. Mm-hmm. But it was this example of like, I can now soften and listen and be so present during this once in a lifetime transit and let whatever needs to come through, come through. Mm. Yeah.
I have a much less profound question.
Yes, please bring it on.
But something that we've been attributing the dumpster fire of the universe to for the past couple of years is the Mercury in retrograde.
Yeah.
Like it's become a cultural like hashtag for why we are a huge mess. Are we? And what does that mean?
Yes.
And can we attribute our madness to that?
Okay, guys, do you want to know this? This is so funny. This morning at 4:47, Mercury went retrograde.
Yes, we can suck today.
What does that mean?
It just means retrograde means that the planet appears to be moving backward. We know that the planet is not moving backward.
Well, it sure as shit does, Heidi. Yes, astrology works. You hear it, heard it here first. The planet
you leak, bro. We're in retrograde. Backward. We're
so
moving way the fuck backward.
The Mercury planet or the Earth planet?
Mercury.
Oh, well, yeah. Earth too.
I want to reframe it for you. So Okay. Yes, should you be careful with technology? Should you check your travel plans? Yes. Should you probably not initiate a bold new thing during Mercury retrograde? You probably shouldn't, right? But Mercury retrograde is a 3-week period when you are allowed to reflect and review and think about what has happened over the last number of months. And it's a pause. That's why you get messed up if you're trying to do too much during a Mercury retrograde. It's actually meant to be a moment of let me close the doors. Let me meditate. Let me receive. Let me write. Let me think about how I have felt. So I would love to reframe Mercury retrograde as actually a sweet time to remember and review.
Okay. Yeah. How often does it happen in the year?
It happens 3 times a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of my first weeks in LA, I got here and I was putting my credit card in one of the machines at the grocery store and it wouldn't work. And the sweet lady looked at me and said, it's Mercury's in retrograde. But like,
yeah,
because my credit card wasn't
machines.
Working.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we're in LA now. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yes. I mean, exactly.
That's correct.
Can I give you another example of, you said, like, how do you use the energy when you know it's coming? Glennon, in 2012, when you started Together Rising, I think it was 2012, you guys write your book so I can look at dates. You had a once in a lifetime hit of Uranus or Uranus, say it two different ways, on your sun. That planet takes 84 years to go around the chart. So if you already were talking to an astrologer and you knew that was coming, I would say this is a time of being a revolutionary, bringing change in, reinventing, doing something electric, exciting. So you would have wanted to meet that, which you did even on, you know, not being aware of an astrology, but that moment catapulted something that is about progress, is about change, is about upliftment. And that, and Uranus was exactly on your sun at that time.
Wow. And we're at the 10-year anniversary of Together Rising right now. And we, along with many, many pod squatters, have raised $40 million for women and children in need all over the world.
Can't believe that.
And that is the combination also of Amanda and your rising sign, because Pisces feels the pain. Pisces feels like, oh, I need to do something about this. And Virgo is like, well, okay, guys, what are we going to do? Let's just collect a bunch of people that feel as passionately as we do. And let's take practical action. And let's decide where we're sending the money on a really simple level, you know? And that's the combination of Glennon and Amanda's rising sign is like, I feel it. I want to take practical action. And Abby just is the big protector, nourisher, mama, like holding it all.
It's so true.
Cancer rising.
So
Cancer
wild.
Rising.
The ultimate mother you are. The
you
ultimate
think?
Mother. Yes, I know.
Wow. Thank you.
I do know. Wow. Heidi, what would you say for our love bugs who are listening? So many, by the way, were asking for us to discuss astrology on the pod. I can't imagine a more beautiful hour than the one you've just spent with us. We have this thing called the next right thing. So just something little. We don't like the next right thing to be hard. The name of our title is mostly for show.
No.
Yeah.
We like to actually do easy things for our next right thing because the rest of life is very hard. So let's just say if someone is a varsity astrology person, so they know everything we've been talking about, can you give us a next right thing for them? And let's just say that another type of person is like on the freshman team of astrology and is just new to it. What should each of those types of people do next if they're curious about this?
I'm going to keep it really practical. I'm going to say if you are brand new to this, within the next hour, get online and find out what your rising sign is, because this is your soul's calling. This is your, this is what you should be apprenticing to in your lifetime, and find one or two qualities that you're like, oh, I can get behind those qualities and start to grow them in your life. And I want to say, if you're a varsity astrologer, that doesn't mean that you're living your chart yet. And it doesn't mean that you're making the most loving, conscious choices. So I would say for the varsity astrologers, put that quality at the center of your heart, like a sun, and everywhere you go, let that emanate and choose to live into that quality every moment that you can.
Ugh.
God,
I have a follow-up.
Choose to live into that quality. Not this is what you are. This is who you are. This is each, it's an invitation to live into that quality more. I love that.
I have a follow-up. So you said, okay, Mercury went into retrograde today and the moon is there a place that we can go that we can find the daily situations that are happening with the planets and the moon and the sun?
Yeah. So first of all, every day for the last 5 years on my Instagram, I write a moon note, which is where the moon is and also some of the other planetary placements. So I just, it's a meant to be a way to start your day, a moment of inspiration.
Okay.
So it's just Heidi Rose Robbins.
Okay.
And it is a great way to know where the moon is, because once you start to notice where the moon is. Like today that we're talking, it's in Virgo. So we want the details. We want to know, we want to like speak specifically about why this works and how it works, right? So if you know where the moon is, you can start studying the energy and how it changes. So that's one way to do it. And then there's so, astrology is online everywhere now. It's grown so much in the last 5 years. It's unbelievable. And you can sign up at astro.com or you can go to my website and you can start to get lists of what is happening in your life and what is happening in the heavens.
We will link to your Instagram, Heidi, which I follow. Everybody can start there.
Can I just say,
I think this is so special because the way you're describing this rising sign, we just live in a world where people are praised for a lot of different things and we're incentivized for a lot of different things. And some of the praise and the incentives and the paths that are easier to go down are not always the ones that are make us feel most alive and most fulfilled. And it feels like what you're describing is why for someone like me, being encouraged to foster my sensitivity instead of my efficiency is so important. Whereas for someone else, it's the exact opposite that will lead them to more fulfillment, even though there's nothing inherently better or worse about either of those qualities.
Right.
It's just a very, that's fascinating to me that it points you in the direction of the thing that is yours to look at and to...
Yours to grow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My father always said, if you know who you are, you'll know what to do. Mm-hmm. And he would say, it's an act of spiritual virtuosity to become who you are. And an astrological chart helps you understand who you are and helps you become it.
Mm. And for you, sis, it's like, I could be wrong, but what I hear you saying is we live in a world that would continue to only praise you for your productivity.
Yeah.
Because of capitalism and who we are as a culture. And very rarely will anyone say to you, no. Also, you're invited to be sensitive because that wasn't benefit anybody. Even more so that knowing that my productivity is prized and valued, to view sensitivity as antithetical or actually would be a destroyer of this other thing, as opposed to believing that actually it might be coming together with it that makes it even more fruitful.
That's good.
It's interesting. Yeah,
it's beautiful. And I thought a lot about your Pisces rising, Amanda, because it is such an invitation to your artistry, to your permeability, to your trusting, your deepest listening. And it is such a sign of profound love. It's such a sign of profound love and standing in it with strength and bringing things to an end that do not support that love.
Wow.
It stands in its powerful strength as a person of love in the world.
Heidi, you are such a wonder, really.
Thank you.
So wonderful. And you have helped us.
Yeah.
I really think you have helped us.
Yeah.
Everybody, next right thing, go follow Heidi. We're going to link to her. What a good teacher you are. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here.
It was so wonderful to be with you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
I'm very, very sorry about your father. And it's beautiful to see everything that he taught you just emanating from you. It really is beautiful. To the rest of you, we can do hard things like learn about astrology. Yes, we did.
We did. We're doing it. We are.
We'll see you back here next, someday soon is
next
when we
time.
Will see you.
Next time.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
I give you Tish Melton and Brandi Carlile.
I walked through fire. I came out the other side. I chased desire, I made sure I got what's mine. And I continue to believe that I'm the one for me. And because I'm mine, I walk the line. 'Cause adventurers and heartbreaks on map. A final destination we lack. We stopped asking directions to places they've never been. And to be loved, we need to be known. We'll finally find our way back home. And through the joy and pain that our lives bring, we can do a hard thing. I hit rock bottom, it felt like a brand new start.
Do Hard Things is produced in partnership with Cadence 13 Studios. Be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcasts. Especially be sure to rate and review the podcast if you really liked it. If you didn't, don't worry about it. It's fine.
I am an outdoors person. I'm a big fan of places that are steeped in culture, history, and arts. And most importantly, I'm a former resident of the great state of Oregon, which is why it's great to partner with Travel Oregon. And when you find a guide through Travel Oregon, you'll be able to leave the planning to the local guides and experts. And this is a game changer. When we're traveling with my family, safety is always something that's on our minds. It's probably not one of the main things you think about when booking a trip, though. That's just one benefit of going with a guide in Oregon. They'll know where to bring you. They're passionate about showing people around, and they know that even adventure seekers like myself want to know that they're in good hands. Plus, you'll be supporting small businesses while having the time of your life. From biking to museums to culinary delights, best food ever, there's so much to experience. Learn more at traveloregon.com.